Le'Veon Bell now has 7 kids and 6 baby mamas. I always knew that guy would run up big numbers. We had that Alejandro Villanueva soundbite where he took a thinly veiled shot at Juju. Going to play that a bit later. Hey, didn't Juju say he had 100% approval of the locker room to dance on the logos? Maybe that's not true. The Penguins host Buffalo tonight. Washington beat the New York Rangers last night in a total excrement show. The Penguins and Caps are now tied for first, and Washington has a game in hand. Chris Jericho got pushed off the top of a cage last night, and that match was a bloodbath. So there you have it, the headlines for today. This is the Mark Madden Show, number one in the market for 25 glorious years. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or you can follow me on Twitter at MarkMaddenX. I watched that game last night between the Caps and Rangers, and all the goons with microphones might say, well, you watched. Mission accomplished. Any publicity is good publicity. But if a lot of people watched, and it's an excrement show, what's that do for their perception of hockey moving forward? A dogfight would pop a big rating on TV, so should NBC call up Michael Vick? Because I don't think Vick saw that publicity as good publicity, and I don't think a big rating last night helps the NHL at all. If you want to give the Rangers credit for having guts within the context of a league that's making a move back to Neanderthal, that's fine. There was a line ball brawl at the drop of the puck. All three forwards dropped the gloves as soon as the puck was dropped, and three fights right off the bat. There were 6 fights in the very early going. Now, if you like that concept, you shouldn't like the actuality, because none of those who fought could fight worth a damn. There were 72 penalty minutes in the first 4 minutes. Nothing was proven. It was a total waste of time. Tom Wilson used the opportunity to show what a coward he is. A, he didn't start the game. And B, it wasn't long before he was quote-unquote injured and left the game. The lower body injury is a hell of a long way from the heart, you candy ass. Wilson is a sociopath and a bully, but he's not legit tough. Brendan Smith of the Rangers went after Wilson as soon as Wilson took his first shift, but Smith made a mistake. Smith just grabbed Wilson and then they fought. Yo, come from the blind side and sucker punch the some bitch. You don't practice honor with a man who has no honor. You don't observe the code when Tom Wilson doesn't observe the code. Wilson didn't deserve what he got last night, and what he got was fair play. Buchnevich had the right idea for the Rangers. He cross-checked Mantha right in the face. That's the right approach, because Wilson threw honor and the code out the window Monday night. The Rangers had no reason to stick to it last night. So there you go. While Lev Bell was no doubt knocking up somebody, the Caps and Rangers were fighting very poorly in embarrassing hockey. Marc-Andre Fleury got win number 490 last night, and he is now third on the all-time list. And I'm here to tell you still that Rutherford made all the right decisions back when. But I'm very happy for Marc-Andre Fleury. Speaking of goalies, we got the local kid goal tonight for the Sabres. Michael Hauser from Wexford, maybe Cranberry, I've read both. He moved to Pittsburgh from Youngstown at a very young age for the sake of hockey. Played for the Pittsburgh Hornets youth organization, which has since morphed into Penn's Elite. Played with Brandon Saad, Trocheck, guys like that back then. Hauser's 28. He hadn't played a hockey game in a year because there weren't no minor leagues last year. He'd been kicking around the minors for 8 seasons, but every single goalie in Buffalo got hurt, so he's playing. He's the Sabres' 6th goalie they used this year, and he's won two games in a row. He is 2-0 in his NHL career. Hauser beat the Islanders twice, which only helps if the Penguins finish first and the Islanders finish fourth. If the Penguins finish second, then Hauser did not do the Penguins a favor if the Isles finish fourth based on those two losses. So it's a good story, this Hauser guy. And I hope he plays tonight in his hometown against Sid, and the stars are in his eyes, and his friends and family are all on hand. And I hope he gets shot full of holes. And I hope the holes get shot full of holes. Because the Penguins need a win, and I don't give a rat's ass about none of that local kid crap. Maybe Hauser can drive down 79 right after and play the third period for Wheeling. I have a bad feeling about two things. That the Penguins are going to finish second because of that loser point they gave away at Washington. And they're going to play Boston in the first round. Mike Matheson skated today on his own. And Sullivan said Matheson avoided surgery for whatever. I like it when we get told they avoided surgery, but we don't know what the injury is. Like, was it optional surgery? Like, plastic surgery? Penis enhancement surgery? Suckers gots to know. But Matheson skating today is big. The Penguins need Matheson back. He's gone from borderline to indispensable, as unbelievable as that is when you consider that Twitter christened him the next Jack Johnson immediately upon arrival. Brandon Tanev had his second regular practice. That's good. DeSmith and Rodriguez are working on their comebacks, we're told. And Tristan Jarry will be in goal tonight. That week off before the playoffs is going to help the Penguins. The Penguins finish their regular season on Saturday. The Caps and Bruins finish up against each other on Tuesday. The Islanders finish Monday against Boston. That's a lot of big games at the end. If the Penguins beat Buffalo twice, good things might happen. That Juju thing. He did an interview where he said that free agency, quote, did not work out, unquote, the way he planned. Free agency did not work out the way Juju planned. Oh, gee, no kidding. So are you telling us your first choice wasn't to come back here for crap money? Aaron Rodgers reportedly told free agents that he was not coming back to Green Bay, so in other words, don't sign here. What a dink. What if he does now come back to Green Bay? What if he has to? Because he's not got the balls to retire or hold out. Then he sabotaged his own team. Is there any way now to not think Aaron Rodgers is a total asshat? Never trust a guy who doesn't talk to his parents. They're so often total pieces of crap. In fact, I can think of a radio guy locally who fits that description. Rodgers, by the way, is apparently backing down and now has told friends he just wants the team to be better. So we can talk about the Rangers and Caps last night, but what's the point? The NHL loved that crap. They'll never admit it, but they loved that crap. George Parrish was a goon. He's the dean of discipline now. He loved that crap. Colin Campbell played defense for the Penguins way back when. He was a turnstile. He was a hack. Couldn't coach worth crap either. He's an NHL exec. He loved that crap. Gary Bettman is a stooge and a sellout. He's a puppet for that tough guy, Canadian English pig mafia. He's weak and spineless. The point is, we can bitch about that crap forever, but nothing's ever going to change with hockey. And I watch hockey all the time, but maybe not as much moving forward. This is going to swing the league back to the point where every team has a goon and there's fights every game. And last night, they weren't even good fights. It looked like fourth graders in the schoolyard who really don't know how to fight. Because they're fourth graders. Battleship Kelly, the Penguins enforcer from the 70s, he would have skated from fight to fight and knocked everybody out. All six fights, all 12 guys, Wilson too, boom, boom, out go the lights. We should talk about Lev Bell. There should be a PSA on TV. Lev Bell impregnates a woman every 12 minutes and 45 seconds. Yikes. When Lev Bell started playing football, he probably thought, I want to catch Emmett Smith in career rushing yards. Now it's, can Lev Bell catch Antonio Cromartie in kids? Cromartie has 14. Bell has 7. But as long as there are Instagram models who want a payday, Lev's got a shot. Lev's going to be so broke, and it's going to be so funny. What a maroon. But I think he can catch Cromartie. It's like Ovechkin chasing Gretzky. Philip Rivers has 9 kids, but they're all with his wife. What's he trying to prove? Okay, we got Kenny and Haley on hold. We got Bob Lilly, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Riverhounds soccer team, at the bottom of the hour. They open this Saturday at Tampa. Their home opener is the 22nd. That's a Saturday at Highmark Stadium. This is the Mark Madden Show at 105.9 The X.
iHeartMedia Pittsburgh celebrating local nurses on National Nurse Day.
It's Abby. This hour we're featuring Sydney Gropp, who...
Helling and Rich.
The X at 105.9.
Time now for the Bucket Roundup. The Pirates lost at San Diego last night, 4-2. They made 4 errors. I don't know who this Ka'ai Tom is. I don't care if I'm pronouncing that right, but I bet the Pirates now have a luau night because he's from Hawaii. Perhaps Hawaiian shirt nights. Todd Frazier is now 1-for-23. Don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon. The Pirates are now 13-17 and are off today before playing at Chicago tomorrow, so that's the Bucco Roundup. Here's some interesting MLB news. Mark Melanson leads MLB in saves with San Diego. Tyler Glasnow is 2nd in MLB in wins. Garrett Cole is number 4 in ERA. Glasnow is 2nd in strikeouts and Cole is 4th. Wow, it seems like there's a common thread there, but I just can't put my finger on it. The worst part of that debacle last night between the Caps and Rangers was that Tom Wilson chumped out. He wasn't hurt, he wasn't scared either, but he left the game and they said he was injured. That's a lie. Wilson just wanted no part of the drama that he totally caused. But the NHL could have prevented it too. Suspend Wilson. Then none of that happens last night. The players don't feel the need to protect each other when the league protects everybody. But this league only protects Connor McDavid. The New York Rangers got fined $250,000 for that statement they made. And the NHL said that George Parrish should not be questioned. The dean of discipline. This isn't Russia, Danny. People are comparing that fine of $250,000 to Wilson getting fined $5,000. Oh, they got fined $250,000. And Wilson only got fined $5,000, but the fact is neither amount means anything in context to what Rangers ownership is worth and what Wilson makes. Here's some news about hockey moving to Turner and to ESPN. Eddie Olczyk is going to Turner, although he'll stay with NBC to do horse racing, and Ray Ferraro is going to ESPN. They will be the lead analysts on the respective hockey telecasts of each network. Edzo is the best there is. And Ferraro is pretty good too, but here we go again. The same voices, which means the same opinion, which means the same presentation, which means nothing happens. The Los Angeles Angels released Albert Pujols today. He's 41. He's hitting 198. And he ain't been good for 6 years. The players union always bitches when players that they think are of superstar quality don't get those ridiculous long-term, like 10-year deals. But Pujols did, and look how it worked out. He wasn't good for the last half of that contract, and then some. I think the Pirates should get Pujols to platoon him with Todd Frazier. The Trib, and I work for the Trib, but that's never stopped me before. They had a poll up. Should the Pirates get Albert Pujols? And it was yes and no, and I tweeted, there should be an option for F no. This is hard to believe. Styx has a new LP coming out. I would assume Steeler fans will buy that and absolutely nobody else. I'm going on the Legends of Rock cruise like I did 2 years ago. I'm going in February again. And Styx is on the upcoming one. and I won't see them at all. I'll ignore them. I'll see Deep Purple 3 times. I'll see Blue Oyster Cult 3 times. I'll see Artemis Pyle Skynyrd Band 2 or 3 times. Don Felder from the Eagles at least once. And I'll go from there. And I'll eat a lot. I'll undo all this Nutrisystem in one single cruise. Oh, I was just about to go to the call and a guy hung up. What a dink. Okay, well, up next. Lev Bell impregnates a woman every 12 minutes and 45 seconds. Now, up next, from the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, we got their coach, Bob Lilly. Last year, they had a real good season. I think they went 11 wins, 1 draw, 4 losses, but lost in the first round of the playoffs. But it was like it never happened because fans couldn't go. This year, fans can go. My understanding, 1,100 tickets will be made available for the home opener on May 22nd. That's Saturday at Highmark Stadium. Bob Lilly next, 105.9.
This is Doug Gottlieb. Here's what's trending from the iHeart Sports Network.
Presented by Move Forward PGH.
Steelers GM Kevin Colbert believes Najee Harris will be a threat
for you.
That right there, my friend, that's asking for trouble.
The X at 105.9.
The Pittsburgh Riverhounds opened their United Soccer League season Saturday at Tampa. The home opener is May 22nd against Charlotte. 1,100 tickets will be available at Highmark Stadium for that game. Joining me now to take a look at the Hounds and at their season, he is their fourth-year coach, Bob Lilly. Bob, last year was a weird season. A little shorter, no fans at games in Pittsburgh. It feels like it never happened. That said, you guys did okay despite a first-round playoff loss.
Yeah. Hi, Mark. It's good to hear from you again. You know, it's disappointing last year to have the season shortened, but obviously with the pandemic, you know, that was the case. And, you know, we're just excited this year to have fans and hopefully pick up where we left off in 2019, you know, winning the Eastern Conference. And a big hurdle in the way will be Tampa, who won the East last year. And would have hosted the final had they been able to play it. So I think all the teams are excited to get back in. And for us, I mean, I much prefer the longer season. I think we did well, you know, with the shortened season, and probably should have won our division, just got nipped out at the end. And, you know, overall it was an okay season, but it never really felt, you know, with the hiatus and less games, you know, we're just looking forward to be able to play a full 32-game schedule this year.
Now, teams in this league have constant and big turnover, and the Riverhounds have never been an exception. Glancing at the roster, I didn't see a lot of familiar names. How hard is that for you as the coach, Bob, all the turnover from year to year? I mean, I know you're used to it.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, and it's something we want to you know, get better at retaining players. I mean, I think we've still been in kind of a building process. I mean, I think for us, 2019, we won the Eastern Conference and, you know, really would have kept a larger percentage of that group together. Unfortunately, you know, some teams came chasing our players. We had a lot of good ones and had some big losses after that season. I think we retooled fairly well, but we weren't good enough last year. I mean, I think even had we gone deeper in the playoffs, I think when we really looked at our roster, we felt like, you know, although we still can play with anyone, we didn't feel like we had as good a team as in 2019. And we were super aggressive this offseason. We've got some top young players coming out of college that we've been able to get here. Players like Russell Cicerone, Alex Dixon, you know, Josh Gatt. These are attacking players with a lot of mobility, more pace. And, you know, I think in 19, the partnership of Dos Santos and Nico Brett worked really well. We lost Nico after the season. And, you know, last year, Ropa Pamensa and Steven Dos Santos are good forwards in this league and big forwards. But they're not, you know, they're not as mobile as some of, you know, we've kind of changed that look, and we actually, you know, really committed to kind of reshaping our roster. And we have a good core back with Dover and Canardo Forbes and Danny Vitiello, Danny Griffin. I mean, we have a good base from last year, but again, you know, losing a few key players like Mertz, Van Kuyzeel, James, you know, we've rebuilt it. We actually feel better about this group. It all starts this weekend, but, you know, we feel like we've upgraded in a lot of areas, and, you know, obviously we'll try to overcome some of the losses, but, you know, we're really optimistic about the upside with this group, and feel like in some ways we have more quality overall on this roster, maybe even than our 2019 roster.
Now, you mentioned Canardo Forbes. He's back for his fourth year in the midfield, and he's the league's all-time assist leader. That's a pretty good building block right there, isn't it? And I imagine with some new talent coming in up front, he's the kind of guy that can make the most of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Canardo's been a big-time player in this league, you know, even before Pittsburgh. You know, he's with me in Rochester. With these guys, getting in behind defenses more frequently. I mean, we scored a fair bit of goals last year, but a lot of it was, I think our division was a little bit weaker. And, you know, when things really mattered at the end, it dried up a little bit. But we do think we can be more dynamic, more creative, and Canardo's a big part of the service, you know, to put these attacking players in good positions.
We're talking to Bob Lilly, the Riverhounds coach. They got the opener on Saturday at Tampa. The home opener with tickets available is Saturday, May 22nd at Highmark Stadium. That's against Charlotte. Now, one thing I like about your management style since you arrived in Pittsburgh, Bob, you can work with whatever you got, because you guys were a defensive team in the past. Last year you led the conference in goals, and it sounds like you're going to have an attacking team this year. And correct me if I'm wrong, But like I said, you make use of what you got, but you prefer to attack, correct?
Well, I'm yes, we all want. I'm a big believer that you got to get it right at both ends of the field, you know. So, you know, I think 19 was a pretty good example of that. You know, we scored timely goals. We got not just the contributions from Nico Breton and Dos Santos, but we had goals coming out of midfield with Robbie Mertz. We had, you know, Ryan James and Dover going forward. We scored a lot of goals off of restarts. I think Adewale, Van Kuyzeel, Joe Greenspan all scored multiple goals off of restarts. So, you know, obviously with all the quality defenders we lost 2 years ago and even last year, losing Van Kuyzeel and James, we're kind of reworking our back line. I think our strength is a little bit more in the midfield and up front right now, but I still expect if we're going to win and be successful, we're going to have to defend well as a team and really grow in that area. But at the end of the day, you're trying to create enough chances to score three or four goals and hopefully limit chances and pick up a lot of shutouts. Because I think, you know, even we go to Liverpool's success, not so much this year, but last year.
Thanks, Bob.
With what Klopp built, I know you're a big Liverpool fan, but, you know, when they had things tighter in the back, obviously the team functioned well and was getting the goals as well, but I think they were strong in both areas. And if you're missing one of those ingredients, it's tough to win consistently in this league or any league.
Now, what's kept you in Pittsburgh so long? Obviously, it's a job well done from the club standpoint, but you've been here 4 years, and in this league, that's a lifetime. That says a lot about you, but about the organization as well, doesn't it?
Listen, I believe in the project here. I believe in what Tuffy has done for the organization, you know, and since him coming in here, you know, the building was just opening up, but now, you know, we're building a training facility and a sports medicine clinic along with Allegheny Health Network out in Coriopolis. And, you know, our academy is grown, and the quality of the players coming out is getting stronger and stronger. I mean, we have our first academy player under contract, and, you know, I want to finish the job here and hopefully build on it after that, you know. But I think everything that Tuffy's invested in and his belief in what I'm trying to do makes it easy to kind of – I think Pittsburgh has been invested in this league for over 20 years now, and I think Pittsburgh deserves to have a winning team. I believe in the market, and I enjoy being here. So, you know, hopefully everything, all the work we've done the last 3 years, been in the playoffs 3 years, we want to keep ourselves at the top of the Eastern Conference so that, you know, we're going to get over that hurdle and win a championship here. That's the goal.
I want the listeners to know, a couple years ago, Bob and I were on the field with our mutual friend Dave McKenzie, the former Pittsburgh Spirit player, and Bob showed me how I could get a second chance off a properly played corner kick. Bob, I just want you to know I am still not ready to do that.
Yeah, I tend to harp on details.
No, it was great. It was great. I just can't physically do it, as you might have guessed.
Well, I probably was annoyed with one of the guys not getting in the right position and trying to relive the moment. That's my fallback, you know. And usually, the night after games or the night of games, after the game, it's a lot of things replayed in your mind. And I'm sorry I put you in that spot.
No, I enjoyed it. I just can't do it.
It was probably Dave winding me up, knowing Dave.
No, it definitely was.
Prone to do that.
Bob, I've been training. I just can't get there. Bob, hey, thanks a lot. I'm glad we're going to be at the stadium again, everybody, this year. So we will see you on the 22nd, and good luck this Saturday at Tampa.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.
That's Bob Lilly. Yeah, he's right. They got a good roster of young, college, fast, accomplished guys. And like I said, Kenardo Forbes in the middle, he's a great playmaker. I got to be honest about Kenardo Forbes. I'm surprised he ain't been snapped up by MLS. All-time leader in assists in the USL. I think the Riverhounds are going to have a good season. We have breaking news about somebody ESPN is trying to recruit to be an analyst for their hockey broadcast. Now, it's somebody I can't stand, but I hope they get him, because it would be a definite step in the right direction. We will break that news. Now, the one thing that could hurt is if this person would be impregnated by Le'Veon Bell between now and hockey season. And I got to tell you, there's always a decent chance. I mean, never mind condoms, never mind getting snipped. Lev Bell, I mean, the only thing he pulls out of is his own driveway. If you didn't hear the breaking news in that department, he just had his seventh kid by a sixth baby mama. She's an Instagram model. Gee, you don't think she's looking for money, do you? Breaking news next, 105.9.
Take a look outside. After a year that brought our world to a standstill, for the first time, we are seeing daylight.
The global pan.
What do you want? Damn it!
DX at 105.9.
Thanks to Bob Lilly for joining me. Good luck to him, the Riverhounds, and Tuffy Schallenberger, the owner this year. I think tickets are on sale now for that home opener Saturday, May 22nd at Highmark. It's my understanding that they're allowed 1,100 people in the building, and I'm planning to be there. Okay, here's the news regarding ESPN hockey telecast. We heard earlier that Ray Ferraro is going to be their lead color commentator, but apparently ESPN is making overtures to Wayne Gretzky to have a broadcasting role, presumably as, I would think his biggest value would be as an in-studio analyst. Like, you know, a host, you get his face on camera as opposed to being color commentator during games. But I don't know if Gretzky would do it, but I think that's the right direction to go in. I mean, instead of having a goon like PJ Stock or a thug like Kelly Chase telling us what's what about hockey, let's have the all-time leading scorer tell us. He does need the money, but he's an attention whore. He failed as an owner, failed as a GM, failed as a coach. It'd have to be better at this. Then again, I remember when Ray Bourque did commentary for ESPN for like a week, and he was absolutely horrible. He must have had stage fright because we came off as functionally illiterate, or a number of other things that I can't make fun of on radio. But hopefully Gretzky does it. I'd like to see it. The odd part would be, Gretzky would stick up for toughness in the game. He had goons like Semenko, you know, on his flanks, making sure he didn't get hurt, but he wouldn't go overboard. And he would emphasize the skill and speed element. I would have to think that. Then again, look at the idiocy that Mark Messier spewed about the Rangers needing to assemble a team that could beat him in the street and beat him in the alley. Then again, if anybody knows the value of being undefeated in the streets, it is certainly yours truly. Your thoughts on Gretzky doing analysis, 412-333-WXDX. Your thoughts on what happened last night at Madison Square Garden, dial the same number. The upshot of last night, everything that happened this week, is that the NHL is going to move back to having goons. I guarantee the Penguins will be bigger and tougher next year and will likely have a goon because Brian Burke and Ron Hextall are going to read the tea leaves. And if Mike Sullivan doesn't like that, he might not coach the Penguins a lot longer. And you think that sounds ridiculous? I'm telling you it's not. And a lot depends on what happens in these playoffs. I know the Penguins have had a very good season, and you're optimistic about the playoffs. Hey, me too. But if the Penguins go out in the first round, you won't recognize the roster next season. Sid will be back. That I could promise you. But otherwise, I think it would be up for grabs. There's a lot on the line with these playoffs. If the Penguins go one and done three seasons in a row and lose four straight playoff series, well, Burke and Hextall have no allegiance to your old heroes. There will be mega change, and there should be. So a lot is on the line for the Penguins in these playoffs. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. Steelers rookie minicamp will be May 14th through the 16th. Boy, that's just around the corner. That sounds so exciting. OTA start May 25th. Mandatory minicamp is June 15th and 17th. Now, didn't the Steelers players say they weren't going to show up for OTAs? Did they back down? I mean, I knew they would. But they did say they weren't going to show up for OTAs. Any hoodles, let's go. The guy hung up again. I was ready to go to the call for the second segment in a row, and the guy hung up again. Call back, guys. Ready to talk to you. Penguins against Buffalo tonight. Michael Hauser, the local kid in goal for the Sabres. I hope he gets embarrassed in front of his friends and family. You know, a lot of people would say, well, I hope the Penguins win 1-0. Okay, let's explain that to Sid, who would rather get more points than say one, or maybe none. I've been getting a few tweets saying that I shouldn't make fun of Lev Bell for having a seventh kid by six women, that it's none of my business. Listen, if it's all over Twitter, it's my business, and yours too. And I think for a guy who's a free agent, who made Bupkis last year, I mean, planned parenthood, plan. Lev Bell spends money hand over fist, and he doesn't have a job right now. He made crap last year, and he's having a seventh kid? I don't know. That sounds to me like a bad idea. What do you think? By a sixth woman? Gee, the women who have your kid that you're not married to, they never want money. What's the risk there? Just keep having kids. It not only is something I have every right to make fun of, it's something I absolutely should make fun of. And you should make fun of too. Especially given the fact that the guy stuck a knife in Pittsburgh's back. It's weird how you turn on some people. You've never really turned on Lev. You turned like crazy on Villanueva, which I'm going to talk about in just a couple seconds. We got that sound bite of where he took a thinly veiled shot at AB Jr. I guess you turn on AB, but not like I thought you would. He still has his fans, and that's Fantasy League, and that's owned the number 84 jersey. Little kid crap like that, but you turn on Villanueva very quickly, which I'll get to in a second, because, boy, there is certainly enough hypocrisy to go around between what he said and what you have said since. I am still mortified by what Tom Wilson did Monday, mortified as well by the excrement show that took place last night when the Capitals and Rangers played. And I got to tell you, and I'm ashamed to say it, I'm at the bottle shop in Heidelberg, and most of the people in the bottle shop loved it when everybody fought. But people would love it if they saw a car wreck up close too. Or dog fighting. I said that before. If that game last night drew a big TV number, well, so would dog fighting. So NBC lost hockey. Maybe it's time to call Michael Vick and make a deal for dog fighting. What happened last night, what happened Monday, it was Neanderthal, it was embarrassing, it did hockey no good, but because Wilson wasn't punished, and when he does get punished, doesn't get punished enough, that's the direction hockey's headed back into. Every team's going to have a goon next year. Penguins will have a goon next year. You watch, the Penguins are going to slow down and get big. No question under Burke and Hextall, and I keep saying, if Sullivan don't like it, I'm not sure he's going to have a choice this time. Let's go quick to Haley in Pittsburgh. Haley, you're on with Double F.
105.9. Hi. I was actually just calling to see what your opinion is on, you know, Tom Wilson and the Rangers, if the NHL commissioner of safety, if he has a problem with just small players, you know, everywhere because of that $5,000.
George Parros is a goon. He played 400 NHL games. He had over 1,000 penalty minutes. He had 18 goals. He's a goon. So he's going to give a goon a break. He's not going to give the skilled players protection. He's going to give the goon a break because that's hockey. It's tough. That's how I played. He's basically justifying not only the job he's doing now, but justifying even more so the job he had back when he was a miserable slug who couldn't play the game worth a lick, but could fight. And not even really that well. He was just mostly big. A big dummy. A big dork.
Oh my God, I love that.
Well, thank you, Haley. I love that you love that. I want you to want me. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. Up next, going to talk about what Alejandro Villanueva said. In fact, we're going to hear it in just a moment on 105.9.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
It's Abby.
Look at Mama's hair. Mama loves vegetables.
On the X at 105.9. It's time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.